Recording. Okay, today we're doing Parshat Shlach. It's an interesting parsha. Of course, Parshat Shlach, the main idea is it talks about the spies that Moshe Rabbeinu sends to Eretz Yisrael to spy out the land. So the questions that present themselves are, we know there was an Aveira with the spies. What exactly was the Aveira? And like the Ramban says, if the Aveira was, you know, just sending the spies, then Moshe and Rabbeinu was implicated in that Aveira. So what was the Aveira? And then where did the spies go wrong? They were like it says, Kulam Anashim Rashei Bnei Yisrael Hema, that the Chazal teach us they were great tzaddikim at that point in time. How is it that they just, you know, kind of went off the other way, this way, the other way? All right, let me quote some, before I get into those topics, I'll quote some small items, and then we'll do some different pieces, and we'll take it from there. So the first piece, this is in Iturei Torah. He quotes from Rabbi Yisrael Morgenstern, Mipilov. He says that Rashi brings down, Laminis Mecha Parsha Meraglim LaParsha Miriam. Why is it that the Parsha of Miriam, welcome Sonia, nice to have you. Sonia Mabsas, nice to have you, Sonia. Okay, so it says, why is the Parsha of Miriam juxtaposed near the Meraglim? And it was last week's Parsha we did about Miriam speaking Lashon Hara and getting Tzaras. And now right away we have the Meraglim. Why does the Torah juxtapose both of those one next to another? He says, Lafi Shalakta Aliske Diba. She got punished for speaking badly. She dibra biachiha. She spoke disparagingly of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rishim alalu ra'u v'lo lachu musar. These Rishayim saw that and didn't take musar from it, didn't take the lesson from it. So Rabbi Yisrael Morgenstern is asking, what is the Torah just telling us what terrible Rishayim they were? Like the derech of the Torah is to really teach you things that you can incorporate. So is the Torah just demonstrating what horrible Rishayim these people were? He says, the idea is that if a person doesn't want to see the MS, he doesn't want to see the truth, it doesn't help even if you show it in front of them. In other words, they don't want to see the MS, it doesn't help you in any event. So they hid their eyes not to see. And that's the Hadgasha. Rishayim halalu ra'u. They saw all the events, but they didn't hear it mipi Shmuel. They didn't hear it like hearing about it from somebody, hearsay or writing, but nevertheless, they didn't take musar from it. You know, it's, anyway, so, you know, sometimes, like I speak about this in a different thing, like sometimes you have people, they're not from, but like even if you engage in all sorts of conversations with them to, you know, convince them of the MS of Yiddishkeit, they're not interested in the truth. In other words, they have a certain lifestyle. They like, you know, playing golf on Shabbos and eating treifas and maybe living with a shiksa. And so like no matter what arguments you propound, so it falls on deaf ears sometimes because they're not really interested, because if they would adopt that idea, then they have to change their whole lifestyle. And that's the whole piece with that. Now he adds on a little piece from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, says there's a pasuk in Yechezkel, which we lay in on Shavuos, the Haftorah, that is, Niftehu Hashemayim v'Rem Arod Elokim. The heavens opened and I saw visions of God, but the Rashi Tevot, Niftehu Hashemayim v'Rem Arod Elokim, the Rashi Tevot are Emunah. In other words, Yechezkel says the heavens opened and I saw visions of God. But if the Rashi Tevot or Emunah, when you have Emunah, you see it. If you don't have Emunah, you know, you don't see it. You know, with the it's a little bit similar. You know, like the you know, like I quote this and another idea. You know, like we had the years ago in the 60s, they had the astronauts going into space. So One of the Apollo shots before they landed on the moon went around the moon, and the astronauts took out a Sefer Bereishis, and they said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the universe. And conversely, Yuri Gagarin, who was the first Soviet cosmonaut, said, I went up in space, I looked all around, I didn't see God. So it depends on like what you want to, you know, like if you don't want to see God, you know, if you're open to seeing God, you see it. If you're not open to seeing it, you know, that's the way that goes with that. All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on that piece? What's up, Fern? Let me hear.
A couple.
Boy, you are a tough cookie. I'm just a little shettle. I think I have a couple of questions. Boy, this is tougher than we are with you. All right, what have you got?
First of all, these were big deal people. That it wasn't just the ordinary people
in Israel. Right.
And So, I mean, to compare them with the
yeah. Yeah,
you know, the non...
My phone's ringing. Give me 1 second. Excuse me 1 second.
Fern.
What?
You're right. There's a shot them that they were not, they weren't Rishayim. I was going to say something. He called on you first. There's shot them on that also.
Right.
They weren't Rishayim at all. I remember reading, I'll wait till he gets back.
Okay. How's everyone?
All right, 1 second, Give me 1 second, 1 second. That's Sam. He wants me to send him a link. 1 second. Let me just send somebody a link. 1 second. This is, let me see. This is the thing. This is sent items. Second, 1 second. All right. Okay. Okay. So you were saying, I'm back with you. So what do you got?
I got that these were big deal people. These weren't the ordinary median of Bnei Israel having seen Miriam. So I'm not sure that last piece really works. The other.
Wait. Why not? Because they were Gedolim.
Right. They were.
All right. Gedolim. We'll talk. Because everybody has their own Nisayon. Just because the person's a Gadol doesn't mean they can't have other influences in their life.
Okay. But part B of that question is that they had seen what happened to Miriam, but Miriam, and two parts to this part of the question, Miriam and Aharon had engaged in Lashon Hara, and last week you told us that Aharon was punished also. Did these Gedolim see that Aharon had a little punishment, A? And B,
I'm sure they did. What's the next part?
When Yehoshua came and spoke about Eldad and Medad, are there any people that say that Yehoshua was punished for that?
All right.
And Yehoshua was part of these Gedolim.
All right. There's a lot of different issues. So let me leave out the Yehoshua part.
I told you it was a few.
The earlier part, I'm sure. First of all, it's not a davar muskam. Remember, it was a machloket in the Gemara. I mentioned the dafyomi is what you're thinking, that some say that Aaron also got sarad. But I'm sure if Aaron got sarad, I'm sure that they were aware of that as well.
But it had a very quick resolution. It wasn't like Miriam.
Shorter than Miriam.
All right. And about the Yehoshua?
The Yehoshua part I got to put off. It's a different topic, but we'll touch on it a little bit. All right. What's up, Aaron Moshe?
I saw in the I remember learning that the Arizal brings down that Shvatim all these men had a Gilgalim from the had an Ibba Neshama from the Shiftei Kar. So you had 12 Gilgalim, you have 12 Meraglim, and you have 12 Shvatim. So all the Shvatim were an Ibba. He explains two kinds of Gilgalim. The regular Gilgal is when you have to be misaking a person. That Gilgal stays in the neshama and has to suffer its whole life.
Right.
The other Gilgalim help the tzaddik get through something. So Moshe, when he prayed, what happens is if you look at the psukim by Ephraim and Menashe received the Gilgal, the neshama from Yosef as an ibn neshama. Ephraim got, Moshe was praying, and Ephraim got the Gilgal neshama from Levi.
All right. So you said one Gilgal is to be misaken what you missed out in this world. The other Gilgal is to
One Gilgal is to be misaken what you screwed up in this world.
Right. And the other Gilgal is for what?
It's called an ibn neshama. It's to be help someone to help a tzaddik in a certain instance. And what happened was, if you look at the pasuk, it says vayelchu vayavou el Moshe. So he says vayelchu when they started to turn against Eretz Yisrael, it's vayelchu. The Gilgal, the neshamos left them vayavou el Moshe.
All right. I'm going to move on. Okay. Thank you. All right. Let me move on. I'm going to mute everybody again. Okay. Forgive me.
Tough crap.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Give me yourself. Okay. Now, you know, I'm going to do less, I guess, because, all right. Now there's an Al Sheikh, which is interesting. And then I'll do a piece from Rav Simon. So it says, Ishachar, Ishachar, Matev Tatshlachu, called Nasibahem. So it means you send one man and you're going to send the Nasi from each Shevet, the prince of each Shevet. Those will be the Meraglim, the spies to go for Eretz Israel. Now, the phrase Ish Echad is repeated. Ish Echad, that seems strange why the Torah repeats it, Ish Echad. You could say it's a turn of phrase, like to emphasize that one man, but he has more of a drush on it. And then also, what is Kol Nasi Bahem? Every Nasi among them. So the Al Sheikh lived in the 16th century, Rav Moshe Al Sheikh. He says Moshe Rabbeinu saw that sending the Meraglim is not to Ratzon Hashem. And Chazal teaches L'dadcha, Ani Eini Mitzvah L'cha. If you want to send, send. I'm not commanding you to send. That's what Hashem said. So Moshe Rabbeinu, thought about his responsibility. And he wanted to pick people, Mistama, who don't have any trace of a chait of Hotzat Diba. You don't want to have anybody who has a taint of bringing back a bad report and or a falsehood. So the Svar Pshuta is, if I'm picking Shvatim, and we're assuming like it's in the genes, like each Shevet has like a certain Natiya. So Lechor, left to my own devices, I would say I should not pick anybody from Shevet Yosef. I should not pick anybody from Shevet Yehuda, because by both of them they have the shemitz of that chait. By Yosef it says, "By Abay Yosef Hadiba Tamra." Yosef brought the bad report to their father. So like, if that's in the genes, that's not going to augur well, you know, for what we're trying to do. He's bringing the bad report, so there'll be a bad report for Eretz Israel. And concerning Yehuda, so he quotes the Medrash. The Medrash says in the Medrash Rabbah that when Yaakov said, Hakir, when Yehuda said to Yaakov, Hakir na k'ton bin chahi, he says, you know, after they kill Yosef, or after they shech the goat and sell Yosef, but they dip the coat of many colors in the blood, and the Yehuda says to him, Hakir na k'ton bin chahi lo, you know, do you recognize this coat? You know, exhibit A in evidence. So it was said, Chayecha, O Tishma HaKirna, Lamiyachotan Baptilim. So in Shemaim, they said, you're going to hear another HaKirna, and that's with Tamar, like, you know, HaKirna, Lamiyachotan Baptilim. In other words, the Medrash is focusing on the phrase, HaKirna. You see, HaKirna with the statement Yehuda to Yaakov, do you recognize the coat? And then later on with the incident with Tamar, I assume you're all familiar with the incident where Tamar is impregnated by the Yehuda and they're ready to execute her. And she says, HaKirna, you know, does anybody recognize these items, the signet ring and the mate and the garment? So he says here, so therefore, based on a person's like narrow understanding, I would think I should leave those shvatim out. Now, that's where, but those are the shvatim that are going to give forth Kalev and Yehoshua. Those are only two good meraglim. And even though you could have a svara to say I shouldn't leave out a total shevet, so I would have thought from Shevet Yosef, Yosef will count as one. And logically, I would think that I'll pick Menashe, because Menashe is the Bechor, and Yehoshua was from Ephraim, who was the younger son. So if Moshe would rely on his Bina, his understanding, so it would be a very bad result. Then instead of having, you know, two good Meraglim and 10 bad ones, you'd end up with 10 bad ones and no good ones. So he says, he says, Ishachad, Ishachad Lamateh. Don't leave out anyone from any Shevet. In other words, like he says, and then it says, from the Shevet that has two potential Nasiim, which is Yosef, is Ephraim and Menashe, it says, call Nasi Bahem, every Nasi in amongst them. So let me just get the Pasuk out in Chumash. Let me take a peek 1 second. So, all right. Yeah. Yeah, so that's what Hashem says. You should say one person from each Shevet, every Nasi amongst them. All right, now let me get some other points. You want to say something? Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, but there was no one. In other words, Yosef got two and Levi got zero.
Right, that's true. Levi also doesn't get a Chelek in Eretz Yisrael either.
I understand, but Levi is still a Shevet.
Well, it depends. Usually when they
count. It depends on how you count.
Right. When there was, you do one of two counts. Either you count Levi, then Yosef counts as one, or you don't count Levi, and then you have Ephraim and Menashe. So this we're doing counting Ephraim and Menashe, we're counting Levi. Otherwise, we end up with 13 Shvatim. Yeah, what's up, Aaron Moshe?
Well, that's the way they said the Aaron went. The way the Aaron went in the Midbar was the same way that the that they carried Yaakov.
Right.
So you have to have Ephraim as one of the leading three, four Shevets.
Yeah.
And Ephraim, Dan, Yehuda, and Reuven were the right. four leaders.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I want to say is that what you mentioned from the Alchuk, but when you learn Vayovo, it's the Boson Roa El Aviem, there's a chart that says he brought it exactly as it was said. He didn't change anything. He didn't enhance it. And he said it, he brought it El Aviem. It was also his father. Why didn't he say it to our father? He said El Aviem because he didn't use his influence over Yaakov Avinu as his favorite son.
Right. Who says that? Who says that when you just said it? Who you don't know?
I remember. I don't know who said, but I remember when the Pasha was by Yehovah was the Bishop. It's L A V M.
Okay. Okay. I want to move on. Okay. Now let me. I'm sorry. Let me. Okay. Now I'm gonna do one more piece. This is for you, Fern. But then I have to go to this piece from Rav Simon, and then we'll see where we go with this. Everything ends up taking so much more time than I think. So there's a piece from the Kli Yakar. He says Shlach Lecha Hashem. So Rashi brings down the Dadcha. In other words, if you want to send, he says Ani Eni Mitzav Lecha. In other words, you. In other words, it's the phrase Shlach Lecha. Why is it Lecha? So he says, L'dadcha, based on your understanding, ani eini mitzav lecha, I'm not directing you to do it. Im tirtzeh shlach, you want to send, send. So why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu want Moshe Rabbeinu to send people to spy out the land? So Chazal teach us that the men were sonei the aretz. The men, in other words, if you look in Chumash, by the men, it says, Nitna rosh v'nashuv mitzrayma. The men say, let's go back to Egypt. If you're looking for a phrase, like how what represents the men's view towards Eretz Yisrael? Nina Rosh v'Nashuv Mitzrayim. The women, they love the land. And let's benot slavchat say, Tzina lanu achuza. We want a Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, based on my understanding, and this is from the Kli Yakar, he says, based on my understanding that I see the future, it would have been better to send women. Better send women. They love Eretz Yisrael. He says, but L'dadcha, you think that they're ksherim, you think they're good, and the Aretz is, and they love the Eretz Yisrael, so send men. Okay, now, let me just do some things quickly. We're really running out of time, and we hardly, all right. So, so the question is, why even send the spies? Why send the spies? So, I'll make this really short. The Ramban, in his Parash in Chumash, says, the spies were for military intelligence. That's why they're sending the spies. We're going to get military intelligence. But then the spies came back with more than the intelligence. They came back, and according to the Ramban, the Avera is really one word. Who knows what the one word is that the Ramban says was the Avera? What was the Avera in one word? Let's hear. Okay, Cindy, let me hear, Cindy. Unmute what? Yourself. Cindy's got it. Unmute. You got to unmute yourself first, Cindy. I can't hear a word you're saying. Unmute.
Okay, I had to find the unmute button. Anyway, I had heard, I only know the English version of it, I don't know the Hebrew word, but it was the word so.
Well, all right, that's not the way I would translate it, but it's Ephes, right, Ephes. Okay, now remute yourself. Okay, so the word is Ephes. Ephes means there's no way, Ephes ki azam, they're strong, and there's no way we can ever overcome them. That's the Ramban says with the Avera. Now, the Hamek Davar, which is the Netziv, he says, he sort of fleshes this out a little bit better. Let me get this Hamek Davar. So he says, let me say it outside first, I'll read it inside. He says, like, when they left Egypt, so there was like a miraculous, you know, accompaniment to Israel. Everything is a miracle. The sea is split, the man is coming down, everything. But there's like, it's sort of like a cost benefit from the Jewish people's attitude. In other words, because they're on such a high level, so they do any Avera, it's like lightning bolt. They get killed. So Klal Yisrael said, you know, we don't want such a close relationship. In other words, it's like it's a mutual thing. So in other words, So if they say we want a little more distance. We don't want like this Shekhinah so much in us where we get, you know, every minute we do an Aveira and then we're finished. So we want a little bit distance. But as a result of that, so now when they go to Eretz Yisrael, it has to be Al-Pi Teva, based on nature, the natural order of things. So they need to have spies to tell them what's up ahead. All right, let me just read a few words from the Netziv. Just 1 minute, Aaron Moshe. Okay, please just wait 1 minute, okay? So it says, "Bnei Bamdam b'Chorev v'b'chil nesiatam misham yabemet b'datam likanes b'zeh ofan l'Eretz Yisrael." Initially, the thinking was, this is the way they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael in a very miraculous fashion. He says, "Ve'ein sirich l'shlich haklal." So we don't need any spies. We're good to go. Avabal lichar shlosh masod alalu. But in the last three stops, between Har Sinai and now, he says, "Reuvid bonanu kashelim lamod b'zahov." And they saw this is not working out too well. Like they had this one place Kivrot Tava where the people, I think. They were like eating the meat and dying and stuff. Anyway, so he says here, "Basher al pi gilui shechina shebi kirbam kumash with the rim shlo kahogen hu baoznei Hashem." Anything they say, you know, untoward, it's like speaking like directly to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kumash with the rim b'paltin shemelch. They speak in the king's palace. You know, like the post can bring down, like when a person does an aveira in shul, so that's worse. That's paltin shamelech. That's the king's palace. So if I speak lashon hara, that's a bad aveira. I go to shul, I speak aveira, I speak lashon hara. It's even worse. That's where everybody goes to speak lashon hara at shul. And we're talking during people talk during kriyas haTorah, kosaras hashatz. So all those aveirot are magnified because it's in the paltin shamelech, the king's palace. He says, so right away we have death. So he says, they said we can't handle this anymore. So he says, he said we can't take it this way. We need to be a little distant. We need a little distance. So he says, and then it goes on, and the idea is that if we're distant from Hashem, Hashem is distant from us. So he says, and I'm skipping some parts here. So they said, well, now that I'm not doing miraculously, so now we need some spies. We need to find out what's going on. We need to prepare, you know, military intelligence. It goes hand in glove with Ramban. And that's why we're doing all of this. What do you want to say, Aaron Moshe?
That the Lashon lost her Eretz to spy. It's a very odd lashon, and we only have that in Kriya Shema.
Right.
So I think Rashi brings it down. So the Yisnaim L'Toyrus asks a shayli. He says, so why don't we say, instead of Achrei Levavchem V'Yachrei Yenechem, why don't we say Achrei Yenechem V'Achrei Levavchem? The eye see first, and then the heart wants. So he says, no, everything stems from the heart. Everything stems from the heart, and that's when the I see it comes from the heart. The I see, and then you want it, and then he says, but everything you need to have, it doesn't mean that your eyes and your heart. You need to have a goof to do an aveira. You have to have an action.
Okay.
When you have a goof.
I got it. If we have time, there's a piece of Torah I want to do on that topic. If we have a little bit of time, okay. Let me move on. Let me say a piece from Rav Simon, and then we'll take it from there. So, at the beginning of the parsha, the Torah tells how what a high level the meraglim were. Kulam anashim rashiv ben solheima. Rashi says kul anashim shabirka l'shon chashivat. Wherever it mentions anashim in the Torah, it means chashiv, importance. He says v'otasha aksherim hayu. At that moment, they were ksherim. They were tzaddikim. So the question is: so how did this occur that they had this tremendous downfall and brought the bad report? So he quotes from the late Rosh Hashiva Chaim Yaakov Goldwicht, who was Rosh Hashiva in Yeshiva Kerem B'Yavneh, and it's brought down in the Sefer Asufot Marakot. Asufot Marakot is a collection of his drashot. He says the Dor HaMidbar, they were living a very ruchni life. Everything is very spiritual, and they have the man coming down and everything else. And the Medrash Tanchuma brings down, this is on Parshat Bishalach in Shmot, Mikani Reb Shim ben I don't know if it's Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. He says Reb Shimon Ben Yoshua. He says Omer lo nanat Torah ledrosha lo ochle yaman shlo yatzorech lo lamlach lo schor. In other words, Torah was given to people when they were eating man. It was the ideal society. You don't have to do business. So they, the Nesiim, were choshesh. Then when they get to Eretz Yisrael, were you know, everything's going to change. Then you're going to be planting. It says in Semkoleitz Machal, so they were afraid that this Mamlechet Kohanim and Goy Kadosh are going to change into a very materialistic group, and they'll be totally involved with the materialism and move away from the Torah. So they felt that it's more and this is a derech that a number of, like, the Hasidic Mepharshim explained this way. They thought that we're really doing a good thing. In other words, if we sabotage the plan to go to Eretz Yisrael, we're really helping Klal Yisrael. Now Klal Yisrael will stay in the Midbar. In the Midbar, they're living the perfect life. The man is coming down. They can study Torah the whole day. So we want to enable that. We don't want to facilitate going to Eretz Yisrael. That's the way a number of Hasidic Mepharshim want to say. So then he quotes from the Zohar. The Zohar says, Kulam Anashim, that they were all Zakayin. So why did they take this Eitzah? They said, if Klal Yisrael enters Eretz Yisrael, then they're going to remove us from being the Nesiim. We're the Nesiim now in the Midbar. When we go into Eretz Yisrael, we won't be the Nesiim. And Moshe Rabbeinu picked different Nesiim. But so why were they so certain that in Eretz Yisrael they wouldn't be Nesiim anymore? But based, Rav Simon wants to say that based on what we said, or this is from Rav Goldlicht, that in other words, it's a different protocol in the Midbar than in Eretz Yisrael. So the leader you have, like, from one regime is not the leader for another regime. So the regime in the Midbar is everybody's living like a Ruchni life. So that's the regime. You have certain Nesiim. Now when they go into Eretz Yisrael, everybody's going to be working. You need different Nesiim, as we're not going to be on anymore. So then he quotes again. So Rav Goldbach says that they made a big mistake with this, because the Anhaga in the Dor Midbar is not a stira to living in Eretz Yisrael. And the Beis Medrash Midbari, like the Beis Medrash in the Midbar, was a hachana to come to Eretz Yisrael. Like David Melech said, Hashmaim Shemaim Lashem, Ba'aretz Natan Levnei Adam, that the heavens are heavens for God, and the earth is given to man. So he quotes from the Kutzker Rebbe that the Aretz Natan Levnei Adam, Omanat She'esumina Atzma Shemaim, that, like, the earth has been given to us so that we should turn the earth into a heaven. In other words, we have to infuse this world with Ruchnius. That's our charge. So the Meraglim thought that there's a stira, a contradiction between the Anhaga Ruchnit, like, you know, the spiritual life and the material life, but that's not true. In the Chai Midbar, that's a hachana to life in Eretz Yisrael, and we have to take the Torah and infuse it in our lives here. And he adds on, I don't know if this is Rav Goldbach or Rav Simon, but he says that's like the Talmidim who study in yeshiva when they're younger and they're just in the Arba Amon of Halacha, like in the Dor Midbar, but that's so they should have Yisod when they leave the yeshiva and take the Torah and be able to use it in the life that they have. Now, he goes off a little bit. I'm going to say a piece from the Sfas Emes on this because I think it fits in well. He quotes here in the Sefer, he quotes from the Belzer Rebbe, but so the Sfas Emes says that, again, he's going with this Hasidic derech. So the Meraglim thought that in the Midbar they have the perfect life. What do they have in the Midbar? They have the man, they have the manna, they have the be'er, they have the well that goes along with them, and they have the anan, they have the cloud on top. And those were three matanot tovot, and each one is connected, you know, Aaron, Moshe, and Miriam. So the anan corresponds to Aaron, or the zechus of Aaron, and the be'er, and the zechus of Miriam, and the man, and the zechus of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then the Gemara says in Tanis that when each one died, they disappeared, and then Moshe Rabbeinu was mispala, they came back, but then when Moshe Rabbeinu died, they all disappeared. Any event, so so if you look at the end of the Parsha, the Sfas Emes says we have three mitzvot that don't seem to have any connection with the Parsha. It says when you get to Eretz Yisrael, so you have the mitzvah of hafrashat challah. Challah is you'll have dough, so you should be mafrish some challah. And then it mentions also the Parsha of Nesachim. Nesachim are the wine libations on the Mizbeach. And then it mentions the Parsha of Tzitzis. So the Sfas Emes says that the Torah is teaching us that in Achinami, you'll be in a different world. You'll be in a more materialistic world, and you won't have the man, you won't have the manna, But you'll have the challah, you have the dough. So whenever you're mafrish, whenever you have dough, be mafrish some challah, like infuse, you know, sanctification, the mitzvah in that. And you won't have the be'er, you won't have the well of Miriam, but you'll have a mizbeach, and you'll pour nisachim on the mizbeach. And you won't have the anan on top of you, you won't have the clouds of glory protecting you, but you'll have the mitzvah of tzitzis, of talis, you'll take your talis, and you'll cover yourself with your talis. So the idea is that Hashem doesn't want us to be off like by ourselves, like totally mufka from this world. We want to take the Torah and infuse the ruchnius in this world. Having said all of that, it gets into the Gemara Masechet Brachot, where we have the machlok between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that a person, you know, should just study Torah the whole day. And Rabbi Shmuel says, you know, Hanheg Bahen Minach Derech Eretz, you do a combination. So it comes out that the combination is good for most people, but there are some people that just devoting themselves to Torah totally is the way. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay, nice to have you with us, Beverly. Nice to have you. Okay, and Zachary, when you were here, it was nice to have you as well. Okay, let me just go further. So now...
I was going to say one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that they believe that they're better off staying in the Midbar because they heard that the Eldad and Medad said that Yeshua was going to take them in. They wanted to stay with Moshe. So in a way, they wanted to do a good thing.
All right. So the thing that has in common that they're doing, it's a little bit like in law. I think there's a test in law, like for sanity, the McNaughton test. Like, in other words, if a person thinks that which is bad is really good, in other words, like the person thinks their mother is a saber-toothed tiger and they're killing the mother because they're saving the world from the saber-toothed tiger, so they don't know the difference between right and wrong. They think that which is wrong is right and right, which is right is wrong. Anyway, so here, the Meraglim are thinking that which is wrong, they're thinking that which that's right. Okay, now he mentions similarly, quotes again from Rav Goldwicht, the late Rosh Hashiva. This is in Parsha Toldot. He says that the bracha of Yitzchak was for Gashmiya. The bracha that Isaac gave to his son was for the physical world. So why did he want to give these? So he wanted to really give the brachot to Esav. Why did he want to give those? In the end, he gives it to Yaakov. But the bracha that he wants to give is v'itim l'chalokim, that God should give you, mital shemayim v'shmenei haaretz, from the dew in heaven, from the fat of the earth. So why are those the bracha he wants to give to Esav? So Yitzchak thought that those brachot are shayach, are so appropriate for Esav, because Esav's ish sadeh, he knows to be mal, he thought that he'll know how to take the gashmius and bring it to ruchnius, and he'll save. But Yaakov's an ish tam, he's Yoshev Olim, he just knows Ruchnius. So really, he's not appropriate. But Rivka understood, and that's the way it came out from Hashem, that Punkfa cared, that it's shayach more to Yaakov, the bracha Gashmius, because Dafka, the Yoshev Olim, the person who has the Torah, he knows how to be, you know, take the bracha Gashmius and infuse it with Ruchnius, and that works out the best way. Okay, now I'm going to skip some parts here. Now he quotes the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, says, so the basic idea, welcome, over Rabbi Drori is with us. It's so nice to have you, Rabbi Yonatan Drori. He's from the Kol Elyon, and he gave a very nice chabur yesterday. The idea, just in 30 seconds, is we said, why did the Meraglim go off the Derech? So we quoted from a lot of the Hasidic Mefarshim, and Rab Simon quotes it from Rav Goldwicht, is they felt that the Klal Yisrael is better off in the Midbar. In the Midbar, they're studying Torah the whole day. They have the Man, the Be'er, the Anan, and they go to Eretz Yisrael. They're not going to have that. They're going to go off the Derech. So they figure we'll sabotage the entrance into Eretz Yisrael and we'll enable like a perfect society. But that's not the Ritzon Hashem. Hashem wants us to take the Torah and infuse it in our world. So he connects us to the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin. So there's a pasuk that many of us, I think, will say tonight in Eshet Chayil, is Sheker Achein Behevel Yofi, Isha Yirat Hashem Hit Talal, that grace is a lie and beauty is vain. A woman who is Yirat Hashem, is fearing of God, she's the one to be praised. That's the pasuk, the verse. It's the last parak in Mishlei, the book of Proverbs. So the Gemara has Davar Acher Sheker Achein Zedoro Shel Moshe. That refers to the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hevel Yofi is the Doro Shel Yoshua. that, you know, like beauty is vain. That's the generation of Yoshua. Yirat Hashem Hitzalal is the Dor Shel Chizkiah. The generation of Chizkiah, who is one of the kings of Yehuda, that's to be praised. And then Davar Cher, the Gemara has a different shot. Sheker Chayin is the Dor Shel Moshe Yoshua. In other words, like the grace is a lie, that's the Moshe and Yoshua. Hevel Yofi, that's the generation of Chizkiah. Yirat Hashem Hitzalal is the Dor Shel Rabbi Yehuda B'Rabbi Eloi. That's a generation of Rabbi Yehuda B'Rabbi Eloi. The Gemara says, Amru Elav Rabbi Yehuda B'Rabbi Eloi, Shu Shisha Talmidim Mitkasim B'Talit Achat V'Oskim Torah. In his generation, six Talmidim would cover themselves with one talis, one cloak, and study Torah. So the Maharal says that in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, they studied a lot of Torah, but that's not a raya that they really desired the Torah, because they didn't have Sadot and Kramim. They didn't have other things pulling them away. He says, and nothing was lacking for them, and they had the man. And Hevel Yofi in time of Yoshua, they had Batim Leim Kotuv. They entered Eretz Israel, and things are also going very well. So the fact that they're studying Torah or attached to Torah in those generations, that doesn't really prove that they have a commitment to it. But the time of Chizkiyahu, they didn't have these Tovot, and they were still studying Torah. That's the Yirat Hashem Hitzitalal, that shows that the Shorish and the Guf of Torah is like embedded in them. And that's where it says Yirat Hashem Hitzitalal, that the Yira is the Var Ikar V'Shorish. In other words, if you're fearing Hashem, that means it's innate. It goes into your soul. And that's not like the Chayin and the Yofi. And then he says, and then the second Lashon is that indeed, in the time of Chizkiah, it was rough, but not quite so rough. But in the generation of Rabbi Rilai, that six Talmidim covered themselves one talis, and they'll say Oseg B'Torah, that's Yirat Shemayim, the complete Yirat Shemayim. So he wants to say that that if a person studies Torah, like in a model of the Dor HaMidbar, without any dagos for Gashmias, I think most people would like to study Torah without having to worry about, you know, the rent or the money and stuff like that. I think most people would like that. But if a person is studying like that, that's not a proof that the Torah is an ikar and a shorish to him, because he says he's like living life like the Malachi Shemayim. But if a person's Oved Hashem and he's the Olam HaMaisa, he's busy working, and he's like, he does Daf Yomi in the morning before he goes to work, and then he comes back at night and he has a Seder, and he, you know what I mean? Like, it's very, as much, he says, that was like Klaiso when they came to Eretz Israel, they were involved with Ruchnius, and nevertheless, they're most of themselves to Torah. He says, that's the Dugma on the Dor of Chizkiah and Rabbi Riloi. That's a sign that they're really committed to it. All right, now let me just do a wrap with this, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so he says that now he quotes a piece from the Panovitz Rav. That's Rabbi Yosef Shlomo Kahaneman. You know, he was there was a Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshiva Ben Yitzchak HaChanan, Rav David Lifshitz, who taught there for close to 50 years. Rav Lifshitz was a Ben Yeshiva with Rav Kahaneman. And I read what was his name? There was a rabbi in Ohio. I don't know why his name's escaping me now, but...
Rabbi Stavsky?
Right, that's it. Thank you very much. Yeah, you see, you're coming here. You were able to add that on, Yonatan. If you weren't here, nobody would say this. Right, so Rabbi Stavsky, I remember he wrote an obituary for Rav Lifshitz. Rav Lifshitz passed away. The way I recall, was it 19 in the 90s? It was 93, 94. That's the way I remember. Somewhere around there, he passed away. So, he wrote an obituary, and he said that Rav Lifshitz would always encourage the Talmidim. This is going back in the 1940s. He would encourage his Talmidim to go to Eretz Israel and study with Rav Kahaneman. He says, you know, like, whatever, go, you'll study with Rav Kahaneman, go there to Eretz Israel. So that at that point in time, that was real. I mean, it always takes some sacrifice, but that was real. In the 40s, to go study in Eretz Israel was a big sacrifice. Anyway, so he quotes something here from Rav Kahaneman. He says that there are two madregos in Limud HaTorah. There's one madrega, Torah Tzivalana Moshe, Moroshah Kilat Yaakov. One madrega is a person is learning because it's Yerusha Meha Avod. It's what I've inherited from my forebears. And the second madrega is Bechinat v'yata kitvu lachem et ha-shira hazot, where Torah is a shira, a song for you. So he says, I'm learning not just because Torah is a Yerusha, but it's my whole chiyas, my whole life. It's what gives me life. It's it's my shira l'chayim. It's that's what, you know, sustains me and gives me happiness in life. And the difference is obvious to any viewer. He says, if a person's learning because the Torah is Yerusha, so he'll learn, you know, when it's comfortable to learn, like the air conditioning's okay, you know, I had my nap, you know, everything, then, you know, it's a comfortable place, and I feel, and I'm good, it's all learned, that's my Yerusha. He says, but when things get tough, he won't learn. But a person's learning that Torah is his whole chiyus, his whole life, he says, shir sachayim, he learns every time, even when things are very, very difficult for him, he'll learn. So with this, Rav Kahaneman explained the Gemara in Masechet Megillah on Daf Gimel. So the Malach, remember there's an incident there where the Malach comes and visits Yehoshua, and Becharbo Shlufa, he's got a sword. So, you know, without even a lot of Havana, you see Malach with a sword. You know, like there's a difference between the Malach with an olive branch and with a sword. So the Malach with a sword, you know, it's bad news. So he says, so the Malach says to him, according to the Gemara, he gave Musar to Yeshua. He says, Emish b'talfam tamid shal ben arbayim. At this point, Yeshua was in war. And he said, you know, he says, yesterday you were mevatel the korban tamid in the afternoon. And now you're mevatel tamid Torah. In other words, like this afternoon, you didn't bring the korban tamid shal ben arbayim. And now I see you're not studying Torah, and now it's at night. So Yeshua says, Aleiz me'en bata. So which one are you coming to address? So he says, atabati. Atabati. So Rashi says, Shel Achshav, Atah means Ayin Taf Hey, now I'm coming, for what's Shaykh now, which is studying Torah. So Tosos brings down the Perish of the Rivan, I'm coming for Talmud Torah, and it says, Ba'atah Kitvu Lachem and Ashira Hazot. Not like Rashi, for now, Atabati, Atah is like a code for Torah, because it says by Torah, Atah Kitvu Lachem and Ashira Hazot, like write down this song, which is the mitzvah of writing down the whole Sefer Torah. So the Kavana is that Mitzad Bachin of Torah Tzivalana Moshe, he says, so Klal Yisrael could have, you know, like, patered themselves, because they were Osek in war, and the Tefiyah isn't such a Tefiyah, you know, I am busy, what do you want from me? I'm in the field of battle. So he says, and the Malach wouldn't come with a unsheathed sword to give Musa for that. From the Bechina of Shira, though, if Torah is our Shira, it's our life that gives us like the song of our life, so then I should be learning any second I have a chance to learn. And so that's what he's saying, I'm coming for Talmud Torah. It says, Atah kitvu lachem et ha-shira hazot. Yeah, I know you had a hard day. I know you're in war, but if Torah is a Shira for you, even then you'd be taking some time to study Torah. And that's what Chazal teach us, Bayalan Yoshua Balayla Hu Betocha Emek. So he So Pshuto Shemikra, he lodged in the valley, but the Gemara brings down a memra, Melamed Shalan Ba'omka Shal Halacha. He dwelt in the valley of Halacha, like it was like he was Osek in Halacha, like the depth of Halacha, not a physical valley, but the depth of Halacha. So he says that not just Stam Limud, but he really delved in it. And that's the siman that Torah is a shira to him. And that's the avoda, he wants to say, of a ben Torah, like during the time that he's in yeshiva, that Torah should be converted to be a shirat chayim shalom. In other words, not just to learn like a discipline, but it should be like his lifelong song. Okay, let me just summarize, then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, give me a minute. So I didn't do the whole piece, but the basic idea was, we said, what motivated the Meraglim to give a bad report? And we said that they thought that Klal Yisrael is better off in the Midbar. They have a perfect yeshiva atmosphere here. And we figure if they go to Eretz Yisrael, they'll be involved with business and they'll go off the derech. So we're really doing a tova by bringing back a bad report. And then we said that that's really not the derech. And Hashem wants us to infuse Kiddusha and everything in our lives. And then I mentioned the Sfas Emes says that they have three mitzvahs at the end of the Parsha, which Lechora look like they're have nothing to do with the beginning of the Parsha, and that's the mitzvah of the of Hafrashat Chala, and the mitzvah of the Nesachim, and the mitzvah of Tzitzis. So the Sfas Emes says that they correspond to the three Matana Tovot that we had in the Midbar, the Man, the Be'er, and the Anan. So we won't have Man in Eretz Yisrael, but you'll be able to be Mafresh Chala. We won't have a be'er with water, but we'll be able to be do nesachim, and we won't have the anan, but we'll take our talis and wrap it over our heads. Or if you're a man, you could wrap it over your heads. Anyway, but that's the idea. So then we said that the bracha of Yitzchak was in Gashmius, v'ten lecha Elokim, and hashkacha from Shemayim was it should go to Yaakov, dafka the ish tam, the person who has Torah, is able to use the Gashmius in the right sense. Then, I didn't do the whole piece here, then we said that Sheker Chayim v'helvel yofi isha yirat Hashem hitzatalam, we think about this when you say Eish Yitzchayil tonight, that the Yirat Hashem Hitzatalal is talking about the generation out of the Chizkiyahu or Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai. The fact that a person studies Torah in comfort doesn't show that it's really part of his life. That just, in other words, so the fact they're studying Torah in the Midbar doesn't show that it's really part of Kleister's life. When you're juggling things and you're still studying, committed to it, that's what really shows that it's part of you. That's Yirat Hashem Hitzatalal. And then we said that when it comes to Torah, there's two madregos. Torah Tivalana Moshe Morsha Kilat Yaakov, it's a Yerusha, and Vatakitfu Lachem and Ashira, so write down the Shira. So write down the Shira is like song. So Torah is either Yerusha for you, or something you inherited, or some Torah is your life, your song. And there's a big nafkamina between the two. So if it's just a Morasha, just my Yerusha, I have time, I'm comfortable, I'll study, otherwise not. If it's a song of life, then every minute I'm going to grab, because that's what's mechaya, that's what gives me my whole chias in life. I'm going to do it. And that was the Musar to Yoshua with the Malach. He says, Atabati, so Atah, not like Rashi, Atah Kitvula Kamana Shira Zot, meaning, like, yeah, I know you were in war today, but if Torah is your chias, so you study now. And immediately, that Yoshua, Bayalan, Yoshua, it says, what was the Pasuk? Bayalan, It says, "Bayalan Yoshua b'layla hu b'tocha emek." That he lodged in the emek. That it means he delved into halacha. Because if it's morasha, I just learn lightly. But he delved all b'emek. Okay, who's the questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? What's up, Aaron Moshe? Let me hear you.
A couple of things. They say that the Chofetz Chaim. They say that we say Esav Sarin El Yisrael. So people want to say, "Oh, there's so many nice people. They're very nice, generous-hearted." Rav Chanan Rassman used to say, see if they're going to act when you're running away, when you're under the pressure that you're going to die any minute. See if they're going to act like the Chofetz Chaim acted towards people. That was his attitude.
Yeah.
Even Tyre was his whole life. And I remember the Rav Yankiv, my Rosh Yeshiva, when he came home once from the hospital, they told him, you can't lean over for something. I don't know what it was, the story. You can't lean over a desk or a table or something. He has to. So as soon as he came home, they see him learning, sitting and learning. So he went over. He says, the doctor said you can't sit over. And so he turned around and says, what if the doctor told me I can't breathe?
Right.
Breathing is tired.
Right.
So he says, what if the doctor told me I couldn't breathe? I would listen to him. He says, I don't do that now. Too. And also, I was looking up while you were speaking about the Meraglim that I mentioned, that they had the Shvatim as Gilgalim. Yosef said to them, Meraglim Haim, you guys are Meraglim. It says that Yosef recognized them, but they didn't recognize Yosef. They thought that Yosef was going to be a Gilgal into Yeravim ben Nevat, which is one of his Shvatim.
Right, right.
But they didn't realize that he would leave Yeravim ben Nevat. But he recognized that they would be Meraglim, but leave before the deed of the Meraglim.
He recognized that they would be Meraglim, but what? But what?
That they would be a Gilgal to each of the Meraglim,
right.
But they leave before the sin of the Meraglim.
What do you mean leave before the sin of the Meraglim?
They're in the Neshama.
Oh, the Neshama would leave it before. Okay.
Would leave before the,
okay.
Before the sin,
okay.
Of the Meraglim.
All right. Now let me see. I have some more pieces. Okay. Let me. anybody else? Everybody good? Okay. So let me do one or two more pieces as time will permit. There's this piece. I think it's similar to what you were saying before, our emotion, which is why I wanted to save it to later. So, one minute. Let me just put this bookmark here. Right. So this is a piece from the Kometz HaMincha by Rav Chanoch Ehrentrau. He was a rabbi in Munich, and he gave drashas there, I think, from around like 1880 to 1920. And the drashas were collected in a sefer called Kometz HaMincha, and the family fled Germany, I don't know, somehow, around the time of World War II, and he has a grandson, I don't know if Sonia left us already or not. Yeah, Sonia, are you still there? Or if Sonia's not there, her thing. But there's a grandson who's on the Beis Din, I think, in London now, Rabbi Aaron Trow, who's on the Beis Din in London. All right. So he says in his Sefer, he picks up on what you were mentioning, Aaron Moshe. It's, you know, the word viaturu is an unusual word. And yet it shows up twice in our parsha. It says in the beginning, Biaturu at Eretz Canaan, go spy out Eretz Israel. And yet in the end of the parsha, it says, V'lo taturu achrei lebavchem v'achrei nechem. Don't be like misled by your heart and by your eyes. So he says, what exactly was the Avera of the Meraglim? So we mentioned some ideas that might be the Avera of the Meraglim, that they, you know, gave back this bad report, but he takes a different tack on it. He says that they came to conclusions. In other words, I'm sending you to be spies. So I'm not asking you, you know, is this a good idea or a bad idea? Just come back and report. No, don't, we shouldn't go do this, do that, do the other thing. Just tell me what you saw. That's all I'm asking. Then leave out all the commentary. And then, in addition to which, when the commentary, like, the job is, I'm sending you to be spies, you come back to me. It says they came back and they give this whole report to all Klal Yisrael. They have a whole press conference when they get back. They said, the land is horrible, blah, blah, blah. And everybody goes, you know, everybody's crying. And then, unfortunately, that's how we end up with Tishba, Vatisam, you know, at Kolam Balayla Hahu. So the Chazal teach us that night was Tishbav. And then now they had a Bechiah Shalchinam. So Rashi brings down, I'm going to give you a Bechiah Ladora, that this will be a day you're crying for nothing. This is going to be a day that your progeny is going to cry throughout the centuries. So that was the Aveira. When we boil down, what does it mean? It means that they brought this raw material in and they didn't have it filtered out through Moshe Rabbeinu, like through Das Torah. That's basically what it's saying. In other words, they're saying like the raw material, we think it's this, that, and the other. But you need like you have a Das Torah, like Moshe Rabbeinu, if they would give the report to him, he would filter out what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, and take out and proceed accordingly. All right, so he says it's the same thing with every person. In other words, an individual, like that's like the macrocosm. But in the microcosm, everybody himself is a small world. So in the microcosm, my small world, how do I take in the outside world? I have my eyes, my ears, you know, like this. Those are my spies. So like, you know, like, let's say a person's walking around and he sees like this, like the beautiful shiksa. There goes the Torah. After the shiksa. So everything's got to be filtered through your das, through the brains, and through Torah. And that's lo taturu acharei levavchem v'acharei nechem. Don't be like misled, you know, through the eyes, your heart. In other words, it's got to go through the brains. You got to let the brain filter through, and the brain meaning with like some Torah. And if you don't have the Torah, you go to a Baal Torah to guide you with that. That's lo taturu, and that's that piece. Okay. Everybody good with that? All right. Now let me do one or two more pieces and this will be it. All right. Now, oh boy. All right. Now, Chazal teach us, it says, Vayikra Moshe lo shebenun Yehoshua, that, you know what? I'll do this other piece from the Kilas Yitzchak. One second.
Rabbi, yeah, very up? Quickly.
Yeah.
Some people say a little bit in a, you know, as a joke, that the word tourism is connected to the word la tour in Hebrew, because tourism can lead to a lot of caridad.
Tourism, like T-O-U-R. But I'm trying to say, what you're saying, tourism, like when you go like as a tourist.
As a major industry.
Right.
I've learned in linguistic classes.
Okay. I hear. All right. Now, so this is from the Kehilas Yitzchak. The Kehilas Yitzchak, I think, was a Talmud of the Beis Halevi. So Rashi says that by Yikramo Shelo Shebenun Yehoshua, that Hippalilav Kayoshiachami Etzat Meraglim, that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed that Hashem should save you from from the council of the Meraglim. It should save you from the council of the Meraglim. So the question is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu pray for only Yehoshua, not the other Meraglim? And why did as long as he's on a roll, why doesn't he pray for Kalev? But why is he focusing on Yehoshua? So Kilas Yitzchak says there's two types of Aveirot. There's Aveirot that are open and notorious. In other words, like eating a piece of chazer, you know, or having relations with the shiksa. That I know is a davar pashut. Then there are Aveirot that the person, and the person knows it's an Aveira, but it's difficult for him to separate himself from it. Then there are Aveirot that the Yetzer covers it with a veil of a mitzvah. In other words, the Yetzer tries to disguise the Aveira and convince you that the Aveira is really a mitzvah. So he says, the Aveirot of that second category are much more dangerous than the first category. Much more dangerous than the first category, because there's no hope that the person is going to do tshuva because he's under the illusion that he's doing a mitzvah. So he mentions that the Zohar in Parshat Shlach brings down, which we covered, that the Meraglim were motzi diba because they were choshesh that when we get to Eretz Israel, they're going to appoint different nesiim. So the Medrash brings down that the Meraglim were, you know, gedolim and tzaddikim when they were sent out. And so Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't choshesh that there'll be motzi diba on the aretz, even though they're no geya badavar. So even though they have an interest that I'm not going to be an asim when we get to Eretz Israel, it's so pashut, it's so like clear, you know, that they're not going to be motzi diba. He says, but from Yehoshua, he's worried because when Eldad and Medad, and you had mentioned this before, Aaron Moshe, when Eldad and Medad said Moshe made Yehoshua Machne. So it's not Mefurish in the Psukim, but Chazal teach us that the Nevuah of Eldad and Medad was that Moshe is going to die and Yehoshua is going to bring us into Eretz Israel. This is before the Chayt of Mei Meriva with the stone and before the Meraglim. And the Eldad and Medad said, Moshe's Rabbeinu is not bringing us to Eretz Israel. Yehoshua is going to bring us. So he says, so Moshe Rabbeinu, Yehoshua got angry and said, Adoni Moshe Klaim, you have to lock these people up. Or the other pshat I did the other week is you'll give them a position and we'll finish, but we got to get rid of this group. So then that way Moshe Rabbeinu will remain in that so he was afraid that Yehoshua will be mekalkel l'shlichos and be motzi diba on Eretz Israel, so Klal Yisrael won't want to go fight in Eretz Israel. And that way Moshe Rabbeinu will remain alive. And so Moshe Rabbeinu's concern, I know that I have a Talmud, he's very devoted to me. I know he heard the Nevuah that I'm going to die and not bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Israel. I know that he got very upset about that. I could see how he could easily succumb to this, you know, counsel of the Meraglim and be under the illusion that he's doing the right thing by giving bad counsel so that I, Moshe Rabbeinu, will remain alive. That's what the Mistama he wants. So he says, so therefore he played Dafka and Yeshua, that maybe the Meraglim will think, to bring a Diba, but don't be brought down with them, because they'll Mistama look at it and figure out that that's an Aveira. But with you, I have my concerns about it. And we gave a svara why they could have had a concern and succumbed to that. Any questions, comes to us on anything? All right. Now, I'll do one more piece, and because just till two, and that'll be it. This is from the Chafetz Chaim. So the Chafetz Chaim is also bothered by why does Moshe Rabbeinu only pray for Yehoshua, and then he's bothered. Like it says, "Ve'avdi Kalev Ekev Haytaruach Acheret Imo." Why by Avdi Kalev, and then also Kalev goes to Hebron to pray by the Avot, and Yehoshua doesn't go. Why does only Kalev go to pray there? And then it says, at the end, we have Avdi Kalev Ekev Haytaruach Acheret Imo Vayimalei Acharai. My servant Kalev had a different spirit. Listen, somebody has not muted. Olivia, you got to mute yourself.
Sorry.
Okay. So why is that? So I'll make this shorter. But he says there are two ways, like, to deal with people who are your opponents. One way, a frontal assault. I don't hold from you. I think you're Rishayim. You know, that's one way. But each has a plus and a downside. So the plus is, you know, I remain strong in my beliefs. But the downside is they can try to, like, bump me off, get rid of me, because they know where I really stand on this. The other way, I could sort of be like sort of undercover and pretend to really be with their counsel and then pull the rug out on them in the last minute. So that's an effective method of dealing with them. But the downside with that is I could easily, because I'm pretending to be with them, I could in the end be seduced to their thinking. And so even though I start off with one way of thinking, at the end I could end up, like, well, just one minute, end up with their way of thinking. So the Chafetz Chaim says that they're both derachim. The Chafetz Chaim says they're both derachim of Avodas Hashem, but Yehoshua took one derach and Caleb took the other. Yehoshua took the derach, I don't hold from you, you know, you're my adversaries, and that's a derach. And at the end they didn't, they tried to, you know, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for Yehoshua. He's understanding Kai Yoshia Chami and Satan Raglim. Hashem should save you from the council of Raglim. Raglim, like taking counsel amongst themselves to get rid of you. So God should save you from that. And then Kalev had the undercover route. So Kalev, the undercover route, but the difficulty is he might be seduced. So he went to Hebron to pray, Ribono Shel Olam, you know, help me out. I don't want to be seduced to their way of thinking. And it's like, you know, I'll, you know, don't bring me Lidei Nisayon. And at the end, he says, Va'avdi Kalev Eikev Haita Ruach Charimo. So at the end, Kalev, they let Kalev speak. You know, like they let him speak, but then, like when they hear what he's saying, they try to shut him up. But they're both Durachim and Hashem. That's Ba'avdi Kalev Eikev Haita Ruach Charimo. Okay, Aaron Moshe, I got you. What's up? Go ahead, chop chop.
I say that I remember when I was a young kid. I mean, in Beis Medrash, a couple of my I was 2 years young. A couple of my chaverim were getting married. So Rav Yankov used to come to everybody's shavuot bracha. So he came in one time. And it's a beautiful word I use at the shavuot bracha. He says, "How come Moshe only was misfollowed for Yeshua? He changed his name from Moshe to Yeshua. And Kalev Gordish, Kalev has to run to the Maros HaMachpelah and be misfollowed by the Avos. Why? He says, you know why? He says, Yeshua was a bacha. Yeshua was a bacha. He didn't get married yet. Yeshua was a bacha. He got married much later what was his name? Racha. That's later. He says, for Kalev Ben Yefuneh, he didn't have to go be misfollowed. You know why? He says, because with a wife like you got, you're okay. With your wife standing behind you, you're okay. He was married to Miriam.
Kalev was married to Miriam?
Yep.
All right.
This was such a wife.
Right. Okay. All right. So now, let me end the recording. Okay, the recording's ended.